Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace as we continue to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and minds, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. So I want to have a little fun this morning, and so I'm going to ask you to take out a piece of paper. You can use the back of your bulletin. There's an area for taking sermon notes. If you'd pull that out, we're going to take a pop quiz. A simple 9-question pop quiz. I'm going to make a statement. It'll appear on the screen behind me, and you'll need to just simply put a T or an F to whether that is a biblically true statement or a biblically false statement. Biblically true or biblically false. There are 9 statements. I'm going to go through them rather quickly. Number your paper 1 through 9. Ready? No looking on anyone else's papers, please. First question. God helps those who help themselves, true or false? God helps those who help themselves, true or false? Question number 2. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. True or false? True or false? Question number 3. We're all God's children. We are all God's children. Question number 4. True or false? Cleanliness is next to godliness. I heard this many times growing up. Cleanliness is next to godliness. A tougher question, question number 5, God won't give you more than you can handle. God won't give you more than you can handle. Question number 6, we all worship the same God. We all worship the same God. Number 7, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Question number 8. When you die, God gains another angel. When you die, God gains another angel. And last question, number 9. We're all going to the same place when we die. We're all going to the same place when we die. Okay, you ready to score your quiz? If you'd like to, you could pass it to your neighbor to score it for you, or if you'd like, keep it yourself. All right, first set of questions. God helps those who help themselves. The answer is false. 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 Question number 2. God wants me to be happy. False. It is a false statement. Biblically false. We are all, number 3, we are all God's children. The answer is false. We are not all God's children. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior become a child of God. Number 4, one of my favorites, cleanliness is next to godliness, is not a proverb. It's found nowhere in the Bible. It is false. Number 5, God won't give you any more than you can handle. God won't give you any more than you can handle is a false statement. God will give you what He needs to give you. Sometimes we handle it, and other times, not so good. Next, 4 questions. Number 6, we all worship the same God. Everyone worships the same God is a false statement. Are you getting a pattern here? Number 7, bad things happen to good people. False. False. Number 8, when you die, God gains another angel. I remember this from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. God gains another angel when you die, and the answer is false. False. There are already angels up there. In fact, the angels look upon us as humans and marvel at us as we come to be with God. Number 9, we're all going to the same place when we die. This is a true and false statement. This is actually true. We will all stand before Christ when we die. but we will go to different places depending on our belief in Christ. That concludes our quiz. Now, did anyone get them all right? Oh, two people? Three? Maybe? Realize that 80% of all Americans claim to believe in God. 80% of all Americans claim to believe in God, but the fact is that many Christians believe in many of these unbiblical statements, which shows our true level of understanding what the Bible really says. It takes real effort not just to know God, but to know the heart of God. I wish we could just attend service once a week and in a year we'd be good to go but it just doesn't work that way. To know intimately God, to know Him intimately, to be in a right relationship with God takes time and effort. And to know God means to know your Bible. Because it is through the Word of God that God reveals Himself to us. How God desires to be your all in all. Your best friend. Your companion throughout your life. By knowing the Bible, we know God more intimately. And in the struggle to know God and to be in a right relationship with God, it takes energy and it takes time. There's simply no way around that. It takes a desire and it takes a willingness to seek God. It takes time and effort to listen to God, to live a life in obedience of God. We see this played out in this morning's scripture with the two cities that the Apostle Paul and Silas visited as they sought to share the good news of Jesus Christ to other Jewish people who had known God for many years and also to the Gentiles who had not known God at all. When Paul and Silas were in the first city called Thessalonica, Paul did what he would normally do when he came to the city. He would first go to the Jewish synagogue and begin to reason with the Jews there how Jesus was indeed the Messiah or the Savior of the world, the one who had been long awaited. He would reason with them through the scriptures of the Old Testament, showing them how Jesus, through the predictions or the prophecies in the Old Testament, fulfilled all of those. All of those were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that He is indeed the Messiah. And it is recorded in Acts that in this city of Thessalonica, there were some Jews who came to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And indeed, there were a number of God-fearing Greeks that also believed. But there was a problem. Read it with me. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some... Can you go back to the screen? Go back to the beginning of the PowerPoint. Just double click on it. I got it from here, Mike. Try again. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. There were some jealous Jews, jealous of what Paul was able to achieve, or so they thought. But in reality, they were not fighting against Paul. They were fighting against what God was trying to accomplish. Even in their own lives, they were fighting against it. To bring people into right relationship with Himself through Jesus Christ is what God was trying to do. And these Jews were resisting. Do you wonder if sometimes what you do, sometimes what I do, is really fighting against God? We fight against what God is trying to do in our lives? Or maybe in the lives of those around you? I know there are times when I've felt that I fight against God for what God wants to do in me or what God wants to do through me. Do you ever experience that? these jealous Jews went out and riled up some bad characters, eventually forcing Paul and Silas to leave Thessalonica. It's interesting to note how often it is in our own unwillingness that causes us to miss out on being in a deeper relationship with God or being used by God to do some great work. Here was jealousy that kept these particular Jews from believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it could be any number of things that keeps us from investing our time, our effort in knowing God better or being used by God. Some say they're too busy, too much to do and only so many hours in a day. For others, they see some who claim to be Christians and say, if that's what a Christian is like, I want nothing to do with it. Others still are looking to make a name for themselves, to collect more money, more power, more prestige, never give a second glance at God. Some who try church for the very first time see Christians as very cliquish, not very hospitable, unless you believe like them, that is. Yet God asks us to go and to help all people become believers, which would suggest that we need to be welcoming all people, right? Contrast this with the people from the next city called Berea. Paul and Silas went there, and Paul went to the Jewish synagogue, as he normally did, to share with the Jews there the good news of Jesus Christ, same as in any new town. And now look how the Berean Jews responded. Can you advance by hitting the space bar, Mike? One more. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Noble character, noble-minded, fair-minded, open-minded to what Paul had to say. Why? Let's read the rest of the verse. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result of this, many of them discovered that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the long-awaited one. Even a number of prominent Greek people believed. Now, the noble character of these people caused them not just to receive what Paul had said about Jesus, this Jesus who had been crucified on a Roman cross, died and buried, and then on the third day rose again, showing that God has power even over life or death itself. Jesus, he was alive, and it was spoken about 400 plus years earlier that God would do this. Now listen, it wasn't that Paul spoke about Jesus that caused them to become followers. It wasn't that they were just eager to hear the truth. How many times do we go into something with great eagerness and we find ourselves burning out and not finishing the task? No, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You see, it took time and effort on their part. Time and effort they willingly put in to scour the scriptures. We spend time and effort for so many things in our lives to provide food, to provide shelter and clothing. We put great effort into these things that only last for a time. Do we put that same effort into things that will last for eternity? What are you doing to help yourself prepare for eternity? Well, like the Bereans, are you spending time examining the scriptures for yourselves that you may know God better? I remember when I started questioning the meaning of life, why people even existed or what the purpose of life was. Trust me, I hadn't opened up my Bible in years. I could have let it go, this question that just kind of kept reverberating in my mind, but I started to ask God, and then I opened up the scriptures and began to examine them. And then to talk with people who had their act together in regard to the purpose and meaning for life. I have to say that as I examined the scriptures, it was through them that the purpose and meaning for life for me became much more clear. There were no other philosophical or religious systems that gave me the same understanding that I was getting from reading the scriptures. Without creation by God, there's no real purpose in life other than to accumulate as many toys, as much power or money as you can, play hard, and then you die. And then there's nothing. But clearly God says that there's more life to live after we die than there is before we die. And that we need to prepare for eternity. So the second city, the Bereans, hear the truth and they put forth some effort to search the scriptures for themselves. And the result is good. No. The result is great. It's great. Because they've come now into an eternal relationship with God. So everything is good. These people in Berea, both Jews and Gentiles, are good to go. And so their lives are set, right? No. It says the Jews from Thessalonica hear that Paul is preaching the word of God in Berea. And this is what happens. Read it with me. Some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The result was that Paul had to move out of Berea pretty quickly, but Silas and Timothy remained. Friends, there's always going to be some opposition to you or I becoming a more effective Christ follower. In this case, it was people from a different town up the road that just had to come down and chase after Paul and stir up trouble with the work that he was doing for Christ, forcing him to leave. And even though this happened to Paul, Paul continued his great effort in spreading the word of God. And the results are, well, 2,000 years later, God is still using the writings of Paul to speak to us today about His will for our lives. So what are you willing to do? What effort are you willing to go to achieve a good result in your spiritual life, in your relationship with God? There are four opportunities to be involved in understanding and improving how you speak with God. Prayer. I want you to grow. God wants you to grow. I know you want to grow in how you talk to God. But without any effort, there will be no results that are any different than what you do today. If you're serious about God, then participate in a study. God knows what you need. We can learn together. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart so that you may make more room for God in your lives. I don't know how you did on the pop quiz this morning and whether you aced it or you found room for improvement. Let me encourage you to make more time in your life for God, for reading, searching the scriptures, understanding the scriptures, for prayer with God, that you may know God more. Imagine with me how you're able to sense God's presence more because you have spent time in the Word. Imagine with me prayers that seem to you that God is listening to. Imagine your life sensing God's presence all around you all the time, knowing that God is watching you and enjoying you. It doesn't happen without effort. Let me leave you with this image. N-O, no effort. N-O, no results. K-N-O-W, no effort. K-N-O-W, no results. Which one will be you? No effort, no results on top. No effort, no results on the bottom. It takes work. But there are blessings that you will receive. Let us pray. God, you gratefully desire our presence in your life as we should desire your presence in our life. God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would cause us to examine ourselves, to be honest with where we are at with you, that you may draw us closer to yourself. Give us the deeper desire, Lord, for you. We open our hearts to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak to us, we pray. Amen.